Welcome to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast. And last weekend we had a very special blessing. We had the pleasure of hosting several events with two humble and sweet-spirited men, Tommy Oakes and his son John Thomas, who spent the weekend ministering to our men's and women's ministries, as well as our entire congregation on Sunday. And this is a recording of the message presented to our entire congregation. If you would like to know more about Tommy and John Thomas, you can visit their websites by following the links in our show notes. Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.
grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad.
When I was growing up, I sang in church a lot, and I asked Dad one time, I said, what's the first song I ever sang as a solo in church? And he said, well, it was actually a duet. He said, you were 2 years old, and you stood beside me on the piano bench, and we sang a song together. So let's show him what we did, Dad. Come on up here.
All right. He's right. He was about this high. Had a big old head. And here's what we sang. John Thomas, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Do you really love Jesus?
Yes, I really love Jesus.
Tell me why you love Jesus.
Here's why I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
And if you know the chorus, sing it with me.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's worth it. Sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth.
This morning, I want to do it like a duet, like me and Dad did. So we'll start with the ladies. And ladies, I will ask the question and you answer. So if I sing, oh, ladies, do you love Jesus? You'll sing, oh, yes, we love Jesus. Then I'll sing, do you really love Jesus? And you'll sing, yes, we really love Jesus. And then I'll sing, tell me why you love Jesus. And you'll sing, here's why we love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Okay, here we go. Oh, ladies, do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Tell me why you love Jesus. Here's why we love Jesus. Because of first.
Good, everybody sing.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Okay, men, it's your turn. Here we go.
Oh, men, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, we love Jesus.
Do you really love Jesus?
Yes, we really love Jesus.
Tell me why you love Jesus.
Here's why we love Jesus.
Because he first loved me.
Everybody sing.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Now, I'm a person who grew up going to church. There was one little period of my life when I didn't go, but my parents became Christians when I was just a little fella, and we became a church-going family. So I'm one of those people who grew up around church. How many people in the room are like me? You grew up going to church. Okay, a lot of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've kind of looked back on those growing-up days, and I've tried to evaluate them, and maybe you have too. As I look back on those days, there's a couple or three conclusions I've come to. One is, it did me a lot of good, and I recommend it. You know what? I think one of the best things you can do if you're a parent is to bring your children to church and just bring them every time the doors are open. That, I look back, and I realize that that did me so much good. And so I'm in favor of it. The second thing I've done is I've tried to evaluate the things I learned, and I learned a lot. A lot of really good things. But as I evaluate the things that I learn, it's come to this. I think that like 99% of the things that I learned growing up in church, were good and beneficial. But there's like 1% of things I learned in the church I grew up in that I wish I hadn't learned. And the reason I wish I hadn't learned them is I look at them now and I realize they weren't in the Bible. It's just the way we did things. And sometimes the way we did things, I'm not sure exactly how biblical it was. And in that little 1% corridor of things I wish I hadn't learned in my home church, one had to do with worship and praise. The thing that I learned in the church I grew up in with worship and praise was restraint. Restraint. I mean, you didn't get carried away. I mean, that was it was like an unwritten rule, you know. No getting carried away. As a matter of fact, the rule was you come in there and you sit down and you shut up and you don't make waves. And if you disturb at all, I'll pinch a fire out of you and your daddy will whip you when you get home. That was kind of the rule for me in the church that I grew up in. And most of the time we didn't even sing much. People who sang were up front in the choir and you'd watch them sing. And if you wanted to get carried away, there was a church across the road you could go to and do that. But you didn't know where I was. I remember we took that verse about let all things be done decently and in order. We wore that one out. And things were really decent and they were orderly. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think they were about as decent and orderly as the local mortuary. So it was pretty cut and dried in there. We used to even tell jokes about that. I remember a joke they used to tell down close to where I grew up about a fellow that went to a church like mine, and he wasn't a Christian yet. But one week, during the week, he just got thoroughly converted. I mean, the Lord changed that man. He was born again. And he went to the church the next Sunday. Well, he got to church and he got all excited and he started showing his excitement and it started disturbing some people. So a couple of deacons came up and got him and started escorting him out. And as he was going out, he said, "Wait, you can't do this. I got salvation." One of them said, "You didn't get it here." So the rule for me was put a lid on it. Put a lid on it. Do not get carried away. Now, take this little song chorus that we just sang. Do you consider this a song of restraint? Yes or no? No, I mean, it's not a restraint song. Yeah, I mean, do you picture this as being a highbrow type song where you're going, "Oh, how I loved you"? Is it that kind of song? No, it's not that kind of song. I mean, it even starts with the word, "Oh." Everybody say, "Oh." Oh. I mean, when you say, "Oh," on the front end of something, it's kind of strong, isn't it? I mean, you hit your thumb, you go, "Oh." It's an O word. And you don't just say, "Oh," you say, "Oh, how." Oh, how. Everybody say, "Oh, how." Oh, how. Now, when you say, "Oh, how" about something, you mean there's a lot of it there, you know. We do not sing, "We sort of love Jesus. We kind of love Jesus." It's, "Oh, how I love Jesus." So it's strong. Can you see that? And I really looked the song up in an old book. And I think it was the first version of it, that the guy that wrote it, at the end of every line, there's an exclamation point. Jesus, exclamation point. And that even makes it stronger, doesn't it? I mean, for example, punctuation matters. For example, suppose that you saw the words, "Oh, how," and they had a period after them. How would you say it? All right, ready? Get ready to say it. Go. "Oh, how." Now, suppose it had a question mark after it. How would you say it then? "Oh, how." Suppose it had dot, dot, dot after it. How would you say it? "Oh, how." Right. Now, put an exclamation point after it and say it. Ready? Go. "Oh, how." I'll put a bigger one and say it again. Ready? "Oh, how." Let's shout it once. I mean, it's okay to shout in a Christian church every now and then. So let's do a shout of it. Ready? Go. "Oh, how." So this is how this song is meant to be sung. "Oh, how I love." And you know, you stop and think, the nature of love is not supposed to be all bottled up. Love's supposed to be expressed. Remember that little song out of that Broadway, I can't remember the musical, that says, a bell's not a bell till you ring it, a sound of music. And a song's not a song till you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. For love isn't love till you give it away. So you see, love's not meant to be bottled up. It's meant to be expressed. And when you're in a relationship that's a love relationship, well, you want to express that love. I mean, how many people this morning, how many people like me, you're a husband? If you're a husband, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Now, if you're a husband, you love your wife, yes? Let me ask that again. See if we can't get a better response. All right. You're a husband. Here we go now. You're a husband. You love your wife. Yes. Okay. Oh, wow. That was good. I was afraid we was having Judgment Day and some people getting left behind. Okay. Yeah. And look, if you love your wife, you love her all the time, right? Now, I know that there may be times you're on the outs, but I mean, nobody in the room who's a husband would say to his wife, well, I love you on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but not on Tuesday. No. Or you wouldn't say, I love you from the hours of 8 to noon every day, but after that, forget. No, really, I mean, honestly, if you do love your wife, it's a 24/7 thing, right? It's going on all the time. And the same thing with wives. How many wives in the room would say, you love your husband? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let's try it again. All right. If you're a wife, you love your husband, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, how? I hope we hear that. And that was a husband said that. All right. But if you love your husband too, it's the same thing. You know, it's something that actually goes on all the time, even when you may be a little iffy with each other. You're still loving them. But, you know, every now and then it's good to express love. It needs to be expressed. That's what maybe getting a little box of candy means, or giving a flower, or maybe going out for a hamburger or something, you know, a little date. You take an occasion and you just want to express that love. I've been working on this in my own marriage. I've been trying to work on every time I would think that I love my wife, I go ahead and tell her. You know, on a given day, I may think it several times, but I wouldn't tell her. So I just got convicted. Every time it crosses my mind, let it come out my mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but for some reason in my marriage, this happens to me in the car a lot. I don't know why, it just does. We'll be driving down the road and it'll just hit me. I love her. I love her. So I got these little games I play. One of them is this. I will look at her and I'll say, have I told you lately that I love you? She'll say, no. And I'll say, have I told you once again somehow? No. And then I'll say, well, darling, I'm telling you now. I've been known to do that on the streets of a city. But it's like a little game, but it's meant to express what's going on all the time. Now, it's the same thing with the love of God. How many people in this room would say this morning, you honestly, you love the Lord? Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I think we mean it. We do. And you don't just love him on Sunday, right? You love him all week long. But you know, it's good every now and then to take this love that's in you and do something to just express it. Just to take the lid off and just let it pour out. Just to give a little jolt to the love that's going on all the time. I heard a fellow say one time, every now and then it wouldn't be a bad idea just to stand before God and tell him you love him 50 times. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it wouldn't be vain repetition, because after a while it'd start to sink in that you really do. You know, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I do. Don't you? I do love him. And I do want to love him more. So a vehicle like this is a chance to just pull the lid off of it. To just let it pour out. So let's do it that way, all right? Let's sing this. We're going to sing this little chorus again. Oh, how. And if you'll take it up to this moment, this has just been like cheerleading, all right? We just want to pour it out, all right? No holding back. No saving your voice. No, let your voice go this morning. Hey, stand up with me. Come on, let's go. And let's just try to sing this song in a worthy fashion. We might modulate it a little bit. But just everybody say, oh, how. Everybody say it louder. Oh, how. One more time, shout it. Oh, how. Okay, let's sing this song. Oh, how I love. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Now, how many did your absolute teetotal 100% best? I thought so. I know we can do better. Ramp it up a little bit. Let's get a little stronger. Oh, how. Here we go. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because
He first loved me.
Okay, now one more time. And if you've been holding back, just let go. And one more time, we won't sing it again. So don't save for something later. We're going to do this right now. We'll put a little tag on the end and sing it one more time. Make a strong statement. Now, look, this is one of those times where you want to raise the roof. It's not just so it'll be loud. It's so it'll be full and unrestrained that we are a bunch of people who love the Lord. Amen? And we love the Lord and we're proud of it. Yes? And if you can't do it here, where can you? Where can you? So here we go. As the people of God before the Lord, let's express our love one more time. Here we go.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Because He first loved me.
One more time.
Because He first loved me.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Yeah. There's another song that starts with the same two words, oh how. And this song is about God's love for us. It's been around a long time, and I'm sure you've heard it. And if you haven't heard it, it's a kind of a little chorus that you can hear one time and you'll know it. And it goes like this. It says, oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. If you know it, sing it. If you don't, like I say, you'll hear it once and you'll be able to. Here we go.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
And now, it sounded like most everybody knew it, but just in case you didn't, let's do it together one more time for anybody that this may be new to.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Now, when we're talking about this song, and it's sung from the perspective of the Lord, how strong do you think the oh how is there? I mean, when we say about God, oh how He loves you and me. How strong is that? How big is that? You know, probably the best known verse in the whole Bible about God's love, John 3:16. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's a little word in there, the word, two-letter word, so. For God so loved. Everybody say so. So. I mean, how big is that so when we say that God? How deep is that? How wide is that when we're talking about God's love? You know, when I was a boy, we used to sing this little chorus, and you probably remember it. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And I sang that growing up, but nobody ever told me what was so deep and was so wide. What was that fountain? Well, I've come to believe that that fountain is the fountain of God's love. Deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide,
deep and wide there's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
I tell you what, when we're talking about the love of God, this is not a trickle. This isn't a little drippy faucet. It's a fountain. It's a river. It flows deep and it flows wide. It's flowed through the centuries, and it flows and reaches you and me too to this day. Mm-hmm. Let's do that again. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you.
There's a fellow out there by the name of, well, he used to be out there. He's gone to be with the Lord now, by the name of Brennan Manning. And Brennan used to speak a lot around the country, and he used to write a lot of books. And I heard him speak a few times and read some of his books. And I learned from reading and listening to Brennan that his real name was not Brennan. Brennan. He took that name because of a friendship. It appears that Brennan served in the military, and he was in the Korean War with a fellow whose name was Brennan that was his best buddy. And he said, we went through a whole lot of things together. As a matter of fact, here's what happened that wanted him to change that name. He said one night, the two of them, he and his buddy Brennan, were in a foxhole very close to the line between North and South Korea. And he said it was a cold winter's night, and the main thing was they were just trying to stay warm. Well, they were all huddled up in that foxhole, and from the north, a North Korean soldier pulled a pin on a hand grenade and just flung that thing randomly over there. Didn't know where it was going, we don't think, but it landed right in the middle of Brennan's foxhole and his brother, Buddy Brennan. Well, what Buddy Brennan did was this. He took one look at that hand grenade and just fell over on it and covered it with his body, and it exploded. And of course it killed him. Brennan said, though, that he remembered his buddy. The last thing he did was he looked up at him and smiled and then died. Well, this so moved Brennan that he wanted to do what he could to show his gratitude. So he said, the first thing I did was I looked up his family, and he only had one living relative, and that was his mother. She lived in Chicago, so Brennan looked her up. Discovered she was a little old widow. She lived in some government housing down in the inner city of Chicago, a little old teeny apartment. But he said, because of what my buddy had done for me, he said, and she didn't have anybody else. He said, I adopted her as my second mother. And he said, I tried to take care of her all I could. And he said, that little apartment just had a bedroom and a living room, a little kitchenette. And said, most more, he calls her Ma. And he said, most days what Ma did was she'd get up and make herself a bowl of tomato soup and a cheese sandwich, and she'd sit down on that little old couch there and watch soap operas on the little TV there in her apartment. But now he said Ma wasn't these people that just watched soap operas. He said she interacted with them. Like she'd talk to them, like, well, what'd she do that for? And who's he think he is? And she'd get mad and all sorts of things watching him. And Brennan said, whenever he's going through Chicago, he said, if I had a night to spend, I'd spend a night with Ma, and I'd sleep on that little old couch and get up the next day, and she'd make two bowls of soup and two sandwiches, and we'd sit there and watch those soap operas together. Brennan said one day, he said to Ma, he said, Ma, out of appreciation for what your boy Brennan did for me, would it be okay with you if I changed my first name to his first name? And she said that'd be fine. So then he went through whatever legalities you go through to get your name changed so that every time he wrote a check or signed his name, he'd remember his buddy Brennan. Well, he said there was one occasion that I spent the night with Maul there in that little apartment. He said, I got up the next day and we were sitting there having our soup and sandwiches watching soap operas, and a thought came to me. And I turned to Maul and I said, Maul, I got a question. She said, what's that, Brennan? He said, do you believe that your boy, Brennan, really loved me? Maul said, oh, you're joking. She said, don't make jokes like that. Don't tease about my son like that. Stop that. He said, I said, no, Maul, I want to know. Do you think your boy, Brennan, loved me? She said, quit. Said, that's not a good joke. She said, don't say things like that about him. Just stop it. But he said, I wouldn't quit. She said, so a third time I turned to her and I said, Maul, no, I really want to know. Do you think Brennan really loved me? He said, when I asked her the third time, said she reached over and gripped my arm with both of her little hands and yelled at me, stop it! Stop it! What more could he have done? And he said, when she said that, I just broke down. And I said, I know, Maul, and I'm sorry. But she said, that's okay, Brennan. But don't you ever talk about my boy like that again. What more could he have done? And you know, Brennan said, I think sometimes I come before the Heavenly Father and I say, I got a question. Does your son Jesus really love me? You know, I know I've heard of that. I got it in Sunday school. They sing that little song about Jesus loving me, but I don't know. Does he love me? And I can almost hear the Heavenly Father say, you're joking, are you? That's not a good joke. Don't talk like that about my son. And we say, no, I can understand him loving some people, but I'm hard to love. I understand missionaries and sacrificial people, but I'm kind of obnoxious and hard to live with, and I just don't know whether he loved me or not. And he said, sometimes I can almost hear the Father saying, stop it. Stop it. What more could he have done? What more could he have done? And anybody this morning who doubts whether or not God loves you, I'd like for you to take a trip this week back to Calvary and quit making such silly jokes and quit talking that way about God's son. What more could he have done to let you and me know that he loves us? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Now, I can grant that there could be somebody in the room this morning who does not feel real lovable. If you don't feel real lovable this morning, I got a message for you, okay? And if you will receive it, you came to church this morning to hear what I'm getting ready to say to you, all right? I'm dedicating this now to anybody in this room that does not feel real lovable. Are you ready? This is for you now. Anybody doesn't feel real lovable this morning, get ready. Here comes the word of the Lord to you, all right? To those who aren't lovable this morning, here it is. Here it comes. Ready? Here it is. You're worse than you think you are. Do you hear me? You may think you're bad. I got words for you. You're worse than you think you are. I can imagine somebody saying to God, I don't know, I'm not very lovable. And I can hear the Father saying, you're telling me? Look, I know you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I've known you every day of your life. I know when you tell the truth and I know when you're lying. And to tell the truth, you may lie more than you tell the truth. You think you're bad? I tell you what, you are worse than you think that you are. You really are. And to those in the room this morning who feel like you're pretty good, I've got a message for you. You're not half as good as you think you are. You know, we miss it on both ends. We think sometimes that we're better than we are, and we think we aren't as bad as we are. We miss it both. We are worse than we think we are, and we're not as good as we think we are. I hope you don't think that has anything to do with the love of God. You know, the Bible says all our righteousness. Now, our righteousness is us at our best, all right? You at your best. I mean, the very best you can be, the very best day you ever lived, the very best person you ever are. The Bible says all our righteousness is like clean linen. Is that what the Bible says? No. The Bible says all our righteousness is like filthy rags. Filthy rags. So you may think you're bad, but you compare yourself to the righteousness of God, you're worse than you thought you were. And you may think you're good, but compare yourself to the righteousness of God, and you're not as good as you think you are. You know, I had a friend who was in furniture, and he called me up one day, and he said, I've got a brand new refrigerator that I don't need. Would you like to have it? Well, I had a refrigerator, and I was perfectly happy with it, but this was a new one, and he was giving it to me. He said, all you got to do is come and get it. I said, okay. So I got a truck and I drove over to where he lives and picked up this brand new sparkling white refrigerator. Took it over to my house. Now I got to tell you, before I got that new refrigerator, I was happy with the one I had. But when I rolled that brand new sparkly shiny refrigerator into my kitchen and set it down beside the old one, I began to wonder what I was doing with such a piece of junk in my kitchen. I mean, that thing had scratches on it. It was dingy. It was dirty. It was moldy. I was okay with it until I saw it next to the brand new one. But when I saw the brand new one, I realized how defective this one was. And so, you see, you may feel pretty bad about yourself, but when you compare yourself to the perfections of the Almighty, you are much worse. And you may think you're pretty good, but if you sat down beside a perfectionist this morning, you wouldn't look so good. So we miss it both ways. And I hope you don't think that that is why God does or doesn't love you. How many people in the room have ever potty trained somebody? How many have been potty trained? Okay. Well, there's a hand or two didn't go up. It kind of worries me. Let's try that again. How many have been potty trained? There's still a hand or two didn't go up. All right. Well, John Thomas is my oldest son. He was a piece of cake. I mean, he was kind of a little intellect. You know, I told you he had a big head. He had a brain in there. And we just had to reason with him. I still remember we sat down one day with him and said, son, don't you think it's time you quit wearing them diapers? And he said, okay. That was it. He was done. Now, his brother was a different trip. His brother was very strong-willed, and his brother slept like a rock. I always wanted to stay close to his brother when he was asleep because I knew if he made the slightest noise, we were going to have an accident, and I better get in there. Well, Keith Miller said he had a daughter who was like John Thomas's brother. And he said when they were doing that potty training, he said that one night, in the middle of the night, he heard that noise in her bedroom, and he thought, I better get in there. So he said, I went in there, and she was laying on the bed there, and he said, I said, honey, do you have to go potty? And she just went, Well, he said, I knew she did. So he said, I picked her up, and I carried her into the bathroom. Said she was like a little limp dish rag. And he said, she couldn't wake up. And so he said, I got her on the seat, near the seat there, and had those little button-up pajamas, and said, I unbuttoned them, and said, I got her down on the seat there, and I had to hold her up. And said, as I was holding her up there, got her all ready, I said, now, honey, go ahead. And said, she went ahead and started doing what it is you do there. Well, he said, as I was holding her, all of a sudden, just this wave of love hit me for her. And he said, I hugged her a little bit and kissed her and said, I love you. He said, she just went, And he said, she finished up. And he said, I picked her up, got her all cleaned up, and took her back to bed. Well, he said, I went to my bed, and I was laying there, and he said, I began to think, what was that love all about in there? And he said, I asked myself, was I loving her because she was being pleasant? Of course, the answer was no. He said, she was being unpleasant. She's doing one of the most unpleasant things that humans do. So he said, I wasn't loving her because she was being pleasant. He said, was I loving her because she was responsive to me? And he said, no, as a matter of fact, she's very unresponsive. So as a matter of fact, she didn't even wake up. So and I said, I asked myself, why was I loving her? And he said, my answer was, all I could come up with was, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. She's mine.
She's my child. I helped make her. She belongs to me. And from day one to the last day of her life, I'll love her. I'll love her if she loves me back. I'll love her if she doesn't. I just love her, period. Now listen to me this morning. There's one message that somebody really needs. Maybe everybody needs it. But if you'll receive it, here it is. You came to church to hear this morning. God cannot help loving you. He just loves you. He loves you if you love him back. He loves you if you don't even like him. He loves you, period. God is love. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and he loves what he made. He will love you every day of your life. He will never quit loving you. You die and go to hell. It won't be because God doesn't love you. Every now and then somebody will say something to me like, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? Well, he doesn't. Listen to me, friends. If you go to hell, it will not be because of the love of God. It'll be in spite of it. You won't go to hell because God loved you. You'll go to hell because you climbed over every barrier that God put between you and that place to keep you out of it. And you'll only go there because you did not want what God had for you, including the death of his own dear son. Oh, how he loves you and me. If I counted correctly on this little song we sing, Oh How, five times, would you say Oh How with me five times? And ask the Spirit of God to do what he does. The Bible says the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to do it while we say this word five times. Oh how. Ready? Here we go. Oh how. Oh how. Oh how, oh how, oh how, oh how, he loves you and me. Oh how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. You know, I think that most likely this would be a good time in our service this morning to remember this demonstration of God's love for us in the gift of his son, Jesus. And so, those who are going to serve communion, if you'll get ready now. And let's remember the love of Jesus. I'll give you a prayer this morning, if you want it, for when we take communion. When you take this bread, and I'm going to give you some, John Tom. And when you take the cup this morning, if you want to under your breath, before you take the bread, would you just say to God, I love you. When you drink the cup, would you just pray again, I love you. And during that communion time, if you want to say it to God 50 times, that'd be all right. But you just keep telling him that you love him and that you're thankful he loves you. Now, after the communion time, there's going to be an offering time. And if you want something to pray about your offering, here's another prayer for your offering. You put that in the plate, just say to God, I love you. I love you. You know, I once knew a young couple that just gotten married. I'm going to set this aside and pick it back up in a minute. And they had an argument, hadn't been married a year, had an argument one night about money. And young couples do that sometimes. A lot of heat. And they went to bed angry at each other. The husband got up the next morning and he was feeling guilty because he knew he'd been wrong. And so he took the amount of money that they'd argued about out of his billfold and laid it on the kitchen table and went to work. When he came home that night, walked in the kitchen, now that money was still laying on the table. And he called his wife in and he said, why didn't you, I put that money on the table, why didn't you get it? And I love her answer. She said, I didn't get it because there's no love in it. She said, I won't touch money that doesn't have any love in it. And she wouldn't, and I don't blame her. And that's why I say this morning, if you got an offering to give, if you don't give it out of love, well, just keep it. If there's no love in it. We talk about love offerings. I almost think every offering is a love offering, an expression of our love. So keep that in mind through the communion and the offering time too. But let's just start with this time of remembering the body and the blood of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we appreciate the expression of love from you to us. And may this also be an expression of our love from us to you. We love you. In Jesus' name. I think we've spoken enough words in the room this morning. This is a wonderful season of the year that we're coming into. Next week's a great week to remember. I mean, we remember every week, but special week, and I'm in favor of it. And I just look forward to remembering all week. I hope you will remember the motivation behind it all was a demonstration of the love of God, who loves us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, and then who rose again. All of it, love motivated it all. And if these words have not made sense to you this morning, well, I hope his spirit slips on through. He loves you. Let's sing that little part, he loves you.
He loves you. He loves you. And if these words do not make sense to you, hope his spirit slips on through. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And if these words do not make sense to you, hope his spirit slips on through. He loves you.
Now I know that Terry's brought a special friend up here. But I also want to have just a moment of invitation if anybody else needs some ministry from the Lord, okay? And so I want to sing that little chorus one more time. And maybe you need to come up here and join these fellas. Maybe you need to come to the Lord this morning. Well, if you do, don't be afraid. You're coming to the one who loves you the most. And so we'll make an invitation out of that. And I'm going to ask you, you don't have to stand up, but if you need some help from the Lord for anything, just get up out of your seat and come on up here. And then after we hear from this, we'll hear from you too, if you got anything at all that you need. So here we go.
He loves you. He loves you. And if these words do not make sense to you, hope his spirit slips on through. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. If these words do not make sense to you, I hope his spirit slips on through. He loves you.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.